Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are in the house. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
Oh my goodness. What we don't talk about. Hey, let's talk about the outdoors for just a second. You know, and I have no skin in the game, but for many years, they did take care of your Pratt Pack, Mr. Stack and Company. And I still love the window shop. And when I had some jingle, I used to go buy a lot of stuff there. And my daughter's actually wearing some of it still today, as is my children, because it really is product that lasts a long time. Bambino's got the Under Armour hat on. I know you're into the outdoors. You're up there at Field and Stream. You must be like a kid in a candy store when you go there.
It's not only all the inventory, it's the guys they have there. They're all like, they really know their stuff. I was going on vacation. I was going to be fishing in cold water. I don't know a lot about fishing in cold water, especially at a small pond. Like, how does, and this, I was listening, overhearing this guy saying that somebody asking him, well, how did you do? And this guy works there. And he's like, oh, I won the tournament. I'm like, okay, this is the guy to talk to. And so he spent 20 minutes with me up at the Field and Stream saying, well, you know, try and throw this, try and throw that. And the funny thing was, we started throwing what he was saying, these little, like crawdads. I couldn't get a fish on, but this kid that doesn't even fish, he caught like four right in front of me. I was about to push him in the water. But it was cold water.
You know, my brother-in-law, who's really, I mean, a guy who could, you could send into the woods with a knife and a blanket and he could live for a month. He's amazing. He still ice fishes today. I mean, what's that? I mean, it intrigues me. I love it. I don't want to do it. But I love it. How do you do that? And how do you know that the ice is like really thick?
Well,
enough?
you gotta wait. And usually when it's like at a big public lake, they'll tell you like don't go on or go on. You know, when you get one of those winters, and I used to, boy.
Oh, Sandusky, Ohio.
Closer to Cleveland, but
on the lake.
November. I grew up in this 300-acre lake. November we'd be on, and we wouldn't be off until sometime in March. But last year, I think there was a little bit of ice fishing, but not much. So those guys know what they're doing. You really, you know, you talk about gear. You know, you got to have the right gear for ice fishing. I used to go out when I was a kid to ice fish with guys, and if you didn't have the right boots on, it wasn't long until it was like, I'm going to walk back to the car.
But can you, the thing that I really, this stuff is made so well, though, that you really can keep it for multiple years.
Well,
so once you make the investment.
Nowadays, you know, with technology, it's kind of funny. I loved what you said, that the outdoors is free. It's just all the other stuff that you got to get to be spent in the outdoors.
Yeah, but when Mother Nature puts a turnstile we're in trouble.
Yeah, but I love that outdoors is free comment. And with the technology on the gear, It'll keep you warm.
Listen,
it'll keep you warm, which is great.
You're such a nice guy. Last question. See, I get started about this. I can't stop because I love it that much. You're such a nice guy, and you will hook a fish, but I can't imagine you shooting a beautiful deer. Neither could I. But do you appreciate hunters as much as you do anglers?
Well, yeah. The thing is, you know, my son became a hunter when we moved here in 20 years ago. You know, I didn't know anything about hunting, but, you know, the culture here is that day is a really important day, and he hunts. Now, my wife is a real animal lover, and she can't really wrap her head around it, but, you know, we've enjoyed some Bambi stew, so.
Hey, my dad always told me, go a month without eating, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
I understand.
And as a gardener,
yeah,
the deer are my enemy, my sworn enemy. So, guys, Get your hunting license and get out there. I've got 2 8-point bucks running in my woods, which you can't hunt.
Talk to a farmer, and I used to have discussions with Sonny and Mike Janoski.
Oh, man.
They don't like deer.
No, no. You know, it's not just those guys, too. I remember I was talking to Dan about the crows.
Yeah.
You know, crows in the cornfield, how he has to have, like, explosions or something to get the crows out of there. I mean, oh. Well, it's not one thing, it's another. You know, we gardeners, we're just like, oh, rabbit, groundhog,
anything
deer.
Left in the garden now? Nothing.
What?
I mean, you're still harvesting something? I don't know.
Swiss chard, lettuce, spinach, corn mâché, radishes, mustard greens.
So a lot still left in the garden.
Other greens, beets. I'm trying to think what else. Yeah, plenty of stuff that loves cold weather. And, oh, I'll tell you what, I had the best day yesterday planting bulbs. You know, being the cheapskate that I am, they're giving them away out there. They are just almost giving them away. I had some from, I bought from this online company called Old House Gardens. They had this thing called a Dutch auction. Every day, the bulbs got cheaper until they're gone. You don't know if you're going to, you know, you kind of wait and say, I'm going to get this, 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 and this. Those were you know, almost 50% off. I got bulbs at Han Nursery the other day, 75% off. I put in about 200-300 bulbs yesterday, and there is something about, you know, drilling that hole with my bulb auger and pushing that little bulb into that cold soil, feeling that cold soil on your fingertips, and just knowing that, yes, this work, you can't see the results until the spring, but when you see the results, oh, man, it's magical.
Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Oster is here, ready to take your phone calls. Jessica Walliser is still in bed, I'm sure, tucked in, nice and warm, sleeping because she is off today. So we'd love to hear from you at 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. And we will take the 10th caller at 412-922-1020 to win an amazing $25 gift certificate from Sorgles.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Dis Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, listen. So you're going to Ireland.
That I am. That I am, Rob.
Now, I know you like Guinness, but have you ever tried Jameson, seriously?
That's not for me.
Why?
I'm not.
One
a,
shot.
No.
It's delicious on a cold day.
Nope. I just...
When you're freezing your shillelagh off?
It doesn't matter. When I have a beer, I know where I'm at. If I introduce stuff like that into it, I don't know where I'm at.
Can you have a Guinness with a meal?
Of course.
Well, I'm just asking. Some people say it's great beer that you want to enjoy by itself.
Either way.
Bam just said, you can have Guinness with breakfast. I'm like, whoa. And from what I hear, St. Patrick's Day in Ireland is just...
And I just talked to somebody yesterday, actually, that was there for St. Patrick's Day and said it was wonderful. It wasn't too wild and crazy. And, you know, I always look at St. Patrick's Day as amateur night. You know, I stay away from it. But, yeah.
You know what? It's cool, though. If you do it responsible, get an Uber, yeah. Whatever, it's a good thing.
Well, I am going to Ireland, and I've been talking about this trip for a couple weeks now, and it started selling like crazy. It looks like it's going to sell out. I'm headed there in June. And we're going to go through most of the country. One of the highlights is this garden that I've always wanted to see, and I've actually added it to the trip. It's called Powers Court Gardens. It's been chosen as the third greatest garden in the world by National Geographic. So that's just one of the stops, but we'll see lots of other gardens and must-see sites. Some of the other gardens, the National Botanic Garden, Mount Usher Gardens, and a bunch of others. We always find new gardens when we're poking around. And it's not all about gardens. We're going to see all the cool stuff in the country. Dublin, Kilkenny, Waterford, Blarney Castle, Killarney, Ring of Kerry. We're going to go on a farm visit in Ireland, a jaunting car ride, Limerick, the Cliffs of Moher, Galloway. We're going to stay at a castle. It's going to be amazing.
A castle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the places we're staying a couple of days. The people of Ireland are just, they're friendly. They're funny. I can remember with my first trip there, walking out of this hotel, this castle, actually, and this priest, and I'm looking up at this guy, and this priest walked by and said, just a normal day in Ireland, sunny and wet. when we do these trips, we have a local guide who greets us at the airport and is with us all the way through the trip. This is an 11-day trip. almost all-inclusive, you know, most of the meals, of course, the flights, the hotel, all the entrance to all this, the bus travel, it's all taken care of for the one fee, and this is the best value I've ever been able to offer in a trip because Ireland is cheap. This is probably $1,500 less than Canada, if you can believe that. Canada's expensive. All the information is posted today on my Facebook page, or you can go to everybodygardens.com. That's my trip website. Or you can give me a call if you're interested in going to Ireland with me in June. It's 412-965-3278. That's 412-965-3278. You've got until about, I think it's December 18th, you get $250 off the booking fee. But I don't think we're going to get that far. It's selling so well. People, you know, it's getting close. So if you're interested in going to Ireland, if you want to be there with me, we're going to have so much fun. We always have fun when we travel. Take a look at it. See if it's the right trip for you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Doug is ready to go to the phones and answer all of your gardening questions, organic, preferably, at 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKA.com. Here's Eleanor. Eleanor, good morning. Welcome to KDKA.
Good morning to you. And yes, Doug Powers Court is beautiful.
Oh, you've seen it.
I have.
Oh, wow. Well, tell us, what did you love about it?
Oh, it's a beautiful setting to begin with. It slopes down a hill from an estate or home, and then you see the mountains in the distance. But there's a there's a lake. There's statuary. There's all different kinds of plantings. I'm sorry, it was more than 10 years ago, and I can't remember.
Awesome. That's awesome. I can't wait to see it. I've always wanted to see Powers Court, and like I said, you know, when they said, let's take people to Ireland. I'm like, great, but we've got to change it around a little bit. We've got to definitely add Powers Court, and I can't wait to see it. That's one of the fun...
It's a formal garden,
right?
But it's beautiful. It really is.
That's one of the fun things about these trips. I book them so I get to see the stuff I want to, and then you do too.
That's true. I did practically the same trip on my own driving around, so it will be wonderful.
Well, isn't that fun, driving in Ireland? I'll tell you what, it was pretty scary for me.
Yes, it is. Anyway, I wish I could go, but I can't travel anymore. But anyway, have a wonderful time. And so I was calling about chives. Last summer, Well, there started to be these little black dots, like a 16th of an inch on the chive spikes.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just a few, and I washed them off and cooked them as I normally do. And but they increased. And I thought, I can't wash these off and eat this. I don't know what's going on.
Was it an insect?
It didn't move.
Huh.
I couldn't see any legs.
Huh.
But maybe it was a larva or something. Because it really multiplied, and finally it killed the chives.
It could be a fungus.
A black dot? I mean, you could feel it. It wasn't big, but, you know, well, maybe.
Well, without seeing it, it would be hard to figure that out. Because the thing is, chives, you know, not a lot of things go after chives. But you say that they just kept increasing on their own?
Yes. Uh-huh.
As the season went on and just kept going all season long, or did they drop off at some point?
I never noticed them drop off. They killed the plants first.
Boy, that's a mystery. Sometimes they get aphids, but you would know if it was an aphid because it would actually move.
Well, I didn't see any of them move, and it was so thick on them, I don't know if any moved off and came back, but...
Because aphids are really small, little black things, and then, yeah, first there's one or two, then there are the masses of them all over, and they kind of put something sticky on the plant. Did you feel anything sticky on the plant when you washed them off?
I don't remember that. Maybe it was aphids, because little black dots, 16ths of an inch.
Yeah. What I would do since we're done with the season now, they're probably gone.
Oh yeah, the plants have died back in the summertime from it.
Really? Wow, that's wild. I mean,
isn't it?
Yeah, but they should sprout from the roots.
Well, they didn't that's my question.
Okay.
They didn't rebound in the summer and fall, late summer that is, and fall. And I'm wondering, you know, Do I need to replant or wait for next spring? Or,
you know, if it was me, I would wait until next spring, see if anything sprouts. If it doesn't, we just go to the nursery and buy a couple little pots of chives. You know how chives are.
Yeah, they spread.
But if they sprout and you have that problem again, right off the bat, take a little snipping of it, throw it in a Ziploc bag, and take it down to your local nursery right away. And we need to diagnose that problem before we do anything. You know,
yeah,
it's very rare for something to attack chives like that. So,
oh yeah, and it was really a heavy infestation, whatever it was.
My guess is they're going to pop up from the roots. I've actually in all my years of gardening, I've never seen chives killed. So. You're the lucky one. You're the lucky one. But hey, next spring, early on, if they sprout, give us a call and we can talk a little bit about it. And then especially if you see anything on them.
Similar, yeah.
All right?
All right. Well, don't plant them now, in other words.
No, it's too late. You might be able to get away with it. It's just that if it was me, I would wait till the spring. I am still doing some planting, but I wouldn't plant chives right now. The tops are, it's just too cold for them.
They're fragile, the tops.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I'll have patience till next spring and see what happens and let you know.
Good luck on those chives.
Thanks so much. I miss them.
I bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
As a matter of fact, I was actually wondering what happened to my chives. I haven't seen them. They haven't written and called. Nothing. Hey, listen, we got about a minute before the break. So let me just do this quick text message if we can handle this. And then we'll remind everyone that Doug's here till 8 o'clock. We've got room on the phone lines. Next caller is Lee from New Kensington. We're going to talk cactus. So please, if you have a question for Doug, now would be a great time to call 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. Text message from Joyce. To cut back or to not cut back? Quick fire and lime light hydrangea.
You know, do not cut those back. Limelight, I think technically it's a paniculata and probably puts on blooms on new wood, which would be next year's wood. But the only hydrangea the only hydrangea you technically should be able to cut back is the Annabelle variety. I don't even cut those back. I don't like to touch them because you probably have some buds on there for a limelight and quick fire. Just let them go unless they're in the way. But you do, whenever you're cutting any hydrangea besides Annabelle, you're risking cutting some of those flowers off.
All right. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Number to dial will be on the program, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020 KDKA.
So you get that too. You look a lot better in person.
Yeah, that means you look bad on TV.
When I did TV for 20 years, they'd go, "My, you're so thin." Now they see me and go, "Boy, camera really does take off an extra 30 or 40. I go, "No, it's supposed to add." I don't know.
That's what I say. People say, you know, the saying is the camera puts on 10 pounds. I tell people it puts 50 on.
All right, listen, let's give away that wonderful gift certificate to Janoski's. They got some great product out there now with their name on it. I absolutely love it.
If you're going to get a poinsetta, I mean,
they're grown right there.
I got to get out there. I'm going to do a story about poinsettias, and that's the place
I want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, that's a destination for you. Bring your kids to see that greenhouse filled with all those colors. Oh, it is a tradition.
So that means I don't have to do it because I show up with a crazy phone. You show up with a videographer. So take care of the Janoski's for me. Okay, let's take the 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020, and you're going to win a $25 gift certificate to Janoski's. And believe it or not, Christmas open house, December 2nd and 3rd. Boy, the holidays are almost here.
Oh, yeah. I heard the gardening Santa Claus was going to be appearing Sunday, December 3rd and Sunday, December 10th at Han Nursery from 2 to 4. You should come out and see him, but we'll talk about him a little bit as we get closer.
All right, let's go right back to the phones and say hi to Lee in New Kensington, as promised. Hey, Lee, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing fine. I have a question about the zygote cactus, caring for it. The first year I had it, I had dozens of blooms when I received it. Last year, I just had a couple of blooms, and I wanted to know what you recommend for lighting, watering, and any fertilizer.
Yeah, first, let's talk about where it's growing. So where does it grow year-round?
It grows in a window facing the east.
Okay. One thing I would think about doing with that plant is finding a spot for it during the, you know, warm season, maybe outside. Give it a little bit more light during that summer period and then bring it in, you know, in September. And at that point, it might throw some more blooms for you. You know, we know with the watering, we want to keep it, you know, very, you know, dry, but it still needs water. And as far as fertilization, the only time that we can fertilize that, and we don't have to fertilize it that often, is during that, what we call the high season, when we have long days. This time of the year, there's not enough light for that plant to process the fertilizer. And so we've got to wait there. A lot of times lighting on cactus, I mean, a lot of times the blooms on cactus can be affected by the lighting. And so that's why I'm saying in the summer, get it outside, get it where it's getting, you know, long days. And then once you bring it inside, I bet you'll get some more bulbs, more blooms. Is it look healthy to you?
Yeah, it looks nice and green, and it looks very healthy. I heard Jesse talking about putting it in the dark for a month or so before.
All right, that's Christmas cactus, and that's really a difficult thing to do. What she's talking about there is these plants are day length sensitive, and there's some kind of scientific term for it, and she knows what it is. I don't. But anyway, like a Christmas cactus or a poinsettia, when we get to a point where it's 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of dark, which is like right now, that's why at Janoski's, they've got them just growing in a greenhouse, they're flower, you know. If you were to try and duplicate that at home, and I've tried it before when I first started gardening, it's like, okay, put it in the closet for this, then bring it out, put it in the closet, and then you forget about it, and then you think you need more light. It's really a pain. So,
I thought a zygote was a Christmas cactus.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking about Christmas cactus.
Yeah, zygote, I think, is another more technical name for a Christmas cactus.
Well, that explains a lot then. Yeah, that the only time that's going to bloom then is when we get the 12 hours of daylight, 12 hours of nighttime. And with a Christmas cactus, it's going to bloom when it's ready. And so sometimes we always say that's a Thanksgiving cactus or an Easter cactus. And so that one, unlike another type of cactus, can take a little bit more water and a little bit more fertilizer, but this is not the time to fertilize.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with a Christmas cactus, a lot of times when you take them outside, they grow like crazy. They put on all that green growth. Then when you bring them in and you get this kind of lighting, they'll bloom a little bit more for you.
I thought if direct sunlight did, it'd be scorched outside.
Well, I would just put it in like a shady location. You know, like where I put my amaryllis, I put them in a spot where they get indirect light for that long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I just was worried about the blooms. It looks healthy. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's say hi now to Tom in Bethel Park. Hey, Tom. Good morning. Welcome to KDKA.
Good morning. Thanks. I heard you earlier talking about bulbs.
Yeah.
And can you leave tulip bulbs and gladiolus bulbs in the ground over winter?
So we have, you know, two very different types of bulbs. On tulips, yes, definitely always leave the tulips in. There's no sense in digging them up and putting them back out. It doesn't work. On the glads, we used to always take them out this time of the year. But since our winters have been a little bit warmer in the last decade or so, a lot of people just leave them in, and usually they come back. But if we have a really tough winter, like a polar vortex type winter, you'll lose those glads. And so it's up to you. Nowadays, as I said, most people do not remove their glads. And I got glads that come up every year now in the vegetable garden and do their thing. So it's really more up to you. As I said, the tulips, no way. But the glads, and again, I would leave the glads in. And if they did die, you know, you get another bag of glads in the spring.
Right, okay. One other question. What are your thoughts about spreading wood fireplace ashes on the garden?
You have to be really careful because it can change the pH of the soil. I prefer to put some of that wood ash into a compost pile and let it all kind of mellow out with all the other things. When we put that wood ash directly on there, it's usually highly alkaline. And if you put too much on, you're really going to mess up your pH. And so, as I said, and I wouldn't put a lot in the compost pile either. You know, if you're burning a lot of wood, I would just put that ash off to the side of a compost pile and put a little bit in at a time. That's the way I would do it.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, short break. Coming right back after sports. More of your calls. It is Doug Oster today, the Organic Gardeners. And congratulations to Jan from Pittsburgh, winner of that $25 gift certificate from Sorgel's Stuffing Recipes. Next hour with Joe and Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. News Radio 1020, KDKA.
All right, Mr. Dentisi is here. His son Frank coming in as we speak today. Stuffing recipes. You love your
the
stuffing.
The only thing I care about on Thanksgiving is my stuffing, and it has to be made in the bird.
Is this like from scratch stuffing?
Oh, yeah, man.
It's got garlic in
it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to have garlic.
And it's got to be in the bird.
That's the way it is, man. Old school.
That's okay.
You cook it for all day, it'd be fine. Don't sweat it.
I remember those days as a kid growing up, and then somebody had too many glasses of Mogan David and dropped the turkey. Hey, there was nothing better than a big jug of Mogan David. It was game on, baby.
What year? No, what week was it?
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. From the vineyards of the banks of the Beaver River. Yes, just a week ago, it's Mogan David for the holidays. You know what? Nothing says Thanksgiving like Mogan David. Mary, how are you?
Hey, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
This is the second year for a bright red calla lily. And last winter, I did bring it in because it was very small. But this year, it's 3 feet tall. Do I have to dig that out and bring it in?
Yeah. I'm surprised that it's still there.
It's all wilted now.
Yeah, definitely get that out and bring it in because that's one that will never make it through the winter, regardless of how tender it is. You'll have, you know, a few days in February and that'll be it. And I know that 3 foot tall is a pain, but remove that foliage on top, get the underneath, and then store that. I like to store them in something called vermiculite, but some people use peat moss or wood chips, all sorts of different things. Not wood chips, but wood shavings. But just some peat moss or vermiculite, put it in like a Rubbermaid container, close it up, and put it down someplace where it's, if you could find it, 50 degrees. If not, just down in a cool, dark place. And then, yeah, plant it again next spring. That's what I would do.
Just forget about it through the winter then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what did you do last year? Grow it as a house plant, or what did you do with it?
No, I just put the whole pot in my garage.
That would work too. You know, if you just stored it that way, that's probably as long as it doesn't freeze, you'll be good. Mm-hmm. You'll be good. That's a good place to put it in a dormancy. It loves cool weather like that for that dormant season, and then you'll be ready to go in the spring.
So it's not too late to do that.
No, I would get it out of there though, and I would take a look at it. You know, again, underground, I think you'll be okay. We got, you know, air temperatures of 18, but I was planting in the soil yesterday. It still was warm.
Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
All right. Another text message. What kind of tree or bush, Doug, can I plant at a friend's cabin that will grow every year? The area is near Ligonier. It's a memorial for a best friend who died of cardiac arrest. Thank you, Rose. It's very woodsy up there.
Okay, well, whenever we're planting something that's really important like that, we want something that's going to be really tough. And so probably something evergreen, shady. Let's think what would be a great thing that would be indestructible. You know what would be indestructible would be a barberry. You know, it's almost a weed. And you can get them in different, you know, different colors. You know, there's some lime green ones. There's ones that turn dark red. That's one choice because, again, it's so important that that plant survives, you know, when it's planted for somebody. So besides that barberry, what I would do is I would spend some time at a local nursery. We still actually have time to plant, even, in our climate. Until the ground freezes, a shrub can go in. I would go to a good nursery besides that barberry and just poke around a little bit. And see something, just tell them what it's for. Tell them it needs to be indestructible, but then you need to see it because you're the one that's going to be looking at it every year. And so it has to be something that you like. As I said, barberry is basically a weed, lots of different colors in there. That would be my number one choice. You can't kill them.
All right, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDK.com. Let's head up to Glassport and say hi to Debbie. Hey, Debbie, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. Two quick questions, I hope.
how do you get rid of moles?
Okay, let's start there. There's great organic control, and it just went out of my head. It's called mole what? Mole Scram. And it uses garlic and castor oil to move them away. And how it works is you figure out where your moles are. First off, I wouldn't worry about this until the spring. The moles are going to really work their way down in the cold. You'll start to see them again when the snow melts. You know, you get that snow cover. They start having tunnels right underneath the snow. But how it works is you put like a band of it away from the moles and then put another band closer to them and push them away from your house until eventually you get enough bands where the moles are over at your neighbor's.
Oh, okay. Second question, caladium. I planted one outside and it's kind of, you know, died with the frost. Can I pull those bulbs up?
Yep. You know, it might be too late. It might have got too cold, but you'll know when you see the bulb. If that little bulb is still nice and hard, it's good to go. Yeah, dig it up. Store it in the same way that you would store a dahlia, which is basically, like I was just talking about, the calla lily.
Uh-huh.
I use vermiculite as a medium to just store them in, but everybody does it a little bit differently. Peat moss, like I said, you know, wood shavings, all sorts of different ways. Dig them up, let them dry out a little bit inside, never put water on them. Remove any of the foliage that might be left, and then stack them into a little container filled with vermiculite so they can't touch. You know, you can do layers of them if you have enough of them. And then put them someplace like an unheated garage, but it can't get below freezing, you know. And then plant them in the spring. They love super warm conditions. So when you do start them later in the season or start them indoors. Once they sprout, you'll be good to get them out.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Does Epsom salts, another text message, actually improve grass lawn?
No. Okay. This is a great, one of the great things that I've learned from Jessica. And for years and years and years, people have been using Epsom salts, especially with tomatoes and peppers. But they'll use it in all sorts of different ways. But there's no scientific evidence
of anything
that it helps. And actually, there's scientific evidence that it hurts. The salt part of the Epsom salts can negatively affect plants. But I know old-timers that always put a teaspoon of Epsom salts in, thinking these micronutrients that are in there will become available to the plants, but they don't. Those magnesium is the big one for Epsom salts. Doesn't become available for years.
All right, I have a large iris bed.
You do?
No. I've been meaning to get it checked, I might add. No, that I had to dig up late this summer. They needed split, plus there were many weeds. Therefore, I didn't have the hundreds of blooms I usually do. Is it too late to replant them, or should I wait until next spring?
I would get them in the ground right now, because storing them is going to be problematic. You could probably get away with it, but whenever you're storing something like that, a rhizome, you got to be sure it doesn't get too dry or too wet. It's going to be much better, especially with these temperatures we got coming up. You got 50s during the day. Pick a nice day in the next couple days. Get them into the ground. You know, they only go about halfway into the ground. They're not buried. And just improve that soil, again, with some compost first. Just kind of set those rhizomes in there. Water them in, and you'll be good to go. They're tough as nails.
One thing that you do with your audience, you've trained them well, because their text messages and their dollar bank instant access messages are like two or three lines right to the point. I get ones that are like War and Peace, you know? And I feel bad that I can't read them.
Dear Rob, it all started for me in the 1960s.
So please take advice to all of my wonderful listeners who really make everything that I do possible, and I'm grateful.
And shut up.
Yeah, no, I didn't say that. But just short them like they do on the gardening show, two or three sentences, then I can read.
Hey, gardeners are really smart, dude.
I agree.
That's what it's about.
I agree. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a very short break. We'll come back, wrap up the hour. Tell them about Ireland one more time.
Oh, I can't wait. It is selling quick. I'm going to Ireland in June. We're going to see most of the country. You know, we're traveling all across there. And I'm telling you what, I think the number one highlight might be Powers Court Gardens, as we heard earlier in the show. It is just a showplace, the number three garden in the world, rated by National Geographic. We'll see lots of other gardens. It's not just about gardens, though. So if you have somebody you want to bring along, that's not into the gardening thing. We're going to see all these other cool things in Ireland, Dublin, Kilkenny, Waterford. You know, we're going to go stay in a castle, Galloway, Cliffs of Moher. We're going to, it's an amazing trip. We get a personal guide that takes us everywhere. Take a look at my Facebook page or at everybodygardens.com, my website, through the trip, and take a look and see if the trip's right for you. As I said, it's starting to sell like crazy, and you get $250 off if you book by like December 18th. So take a look at it. If you want to give me a call, 412-965-3278. That's 412-965-3278.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners. Diz Radio 1020 KDKA.
All right, Doug, before we say goodbye, I want everybody to just remember that number for your Ireland trip, please, because they're going to call me.
412-965-3278. If you want to come with me to Ireland, as I said, it's selling quick. I'm not telling you that because I'm trying to do you a sales pitch. I'm getting close. It's going to sell out, I think, before December 18th. And so if you ever always dreamed of going to Ireland, go with me. Have a local. I like having that local guide, because he knows where to eat dinner. He knows where to put your wallet when you go someplace, where to put your wallet in your front pocket, stuff like that.
Just say goodnight.
All right. Remember, the Organic Gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden
and a safer place to live.